Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Hey, what an amazing time to be in America. We have pirate money legislation happening across the nation, and we've got great news in Arkansas, Florida, Oklahoma, Texas. So here's the question. What does it mean to you? Do you even know what pirate money is? You tuned in to Pirate Money Radio. We're going to explain that. Pirate money is God's money. It's not really pirate money. It's constitutional currency. It's gold and silver. It's straight from the scriptures, God's money. And it's going to change the way you think about money and inflation and investing and spending and savings. You know, it's a part of my life's work, and it's happening using kingdom principles. And joining me today is the partner in, I can't say partner in crime, he's my business partner. He's a partner in taking America back. He's one of two terrific partners that I'm blessed with. Mike Carter, welcome back to Pirate Money.
Yeah, great to be here. A partner in fair weights and measure and economic freedom. I mean, that's The things that are happening right now are just amazing. I'm just honored to be a part of it and see what God is doing here.
Oh, he's doing some great things. And I hear freedom, you know, Danny Griego's song, which is great, or maybe at Braveheart, you know.
We're getting one step closer to that freedom, state by state. And I know we've got an agenda to kind of walk through here, but Arkansas, there's going to be some
Let's start with the A's.
Arkansas. I like that. Yeah.
Arkansas.
Maybe that must be why it happened. There must be some natural pirates there.
You know, I grew up in Tulsa, and Arkansas was the next state over. And I say this tongue in cheek. Every state has a state that they look down on. And Arkansas and Oklahoma would try and look down on each other. No, you know. But Arkansas is actually a beautiful state. So it's a wonderful state. A land of opportunity. It's a beautiful, terrific place. And it has become one of my new favorite states because of what they did.
There.
The people are good. Rod Martin comes from Arkansas.
That's right. We flew in late at night for the signing with the governor. But
You just jumped right ahead.
Did I jump the shark?
The signing.
It's real.
Not,
I'm telling
not
you.
Not the signing. That's not jumping the shark, but you jumped right ahead to the big news, which is, Mike, you tell, what did you do?
Arkansas is a, you know, we were always wondering who was going to be first to make transactional gold and silver legal tender. We thought Utah. They came close, but you know, we had a governor there that kind of blocked it and got in the way.
Vetoed it, and we're going to have to go back and fight that,
And that will happen. But Arkansas is the one that made it happen, and I got a special credit to Lori on our team who stayed close to that one. You know, they meet only once every 2 years, so if it didn't get done this year, we were 2 years out. And we had a fabulous team there, both on the House and Senate side, said, hey, we think we can get this done. So and they did.
Let's walk through the history of this because we've got the big states, and the big states are still in play. Florida, Texas, Ohio, they're still in play and potential. But let's walk through the history. How did we get here? It's like when you start one of those movies and you see somebody hanging over the cliff and then they rewind, you know, 7 hours earlier. So here we are at the signing ceremony. It's not hanging over a cliff. It's a great thing. We've got Governor Sarah Sanders, the daughter of former governor, now Ambassador Mike Huckabee, who is signing our bill, and we'll get to that story because it's so amazing. She's signing the bill, and she hands us the pen that she signed it with, and Arkansas becomes the first state. Now let's rewind to months ago when you, I think Marnie and I were out of town, and you and Laurie were in town.
Yeah, at a great work with David Barton's event. Pro Family Legislative Network, and we happened to be there that night. We knew we wanted Arkansas on the radar, but wasn't. I talked with one representative last year, but it wasn't the right time. Wasn't quite there. And then that first night, they identified by table legislators by table, and I had some other business I had to take care of over in Ohio, and I was looking, and I said, okay, Lori, that's the Arkansas table there. You got to go over there and connect. And she did it, and she made great friendships and associations with Representative Mindy McClendon. Got to get that pronunciation right. And Senator Jim Dotson.
Yeah, it's Dotson. When I first heard this, I said, Jim Dobson is Focus on the Family. What do you mean, Jim Dobson? No, it's Senator Jim Dotson.
D-O-T-S-O-N. Yes. Press release will be out this week on that. Some stripped out already, but we worked through the process, and it started out with a complicated bill, and then we back said, no, we got to come up with something simpler and something that can breathe a little bit. And between the two of them, they said, this is the legislation we think we can move forward. And passed in the House and done in a great way because they already had gold and silver's legal tender, but they said, you know what? It's not usable. It's not functional. What do we do with this? So we passed this law, but what do we do with it? Now there's a way to do that, to do it electronically, to make transactional gold and silver electronic, to be able to have a state-authorized vault. They said it might be in the state of Arkansas or somewhere else, but this is free market, and this is the natural next step.
But in the United States.
And in the United States, yes. Definitely in the United States. And they wanted the law to take advantage of Article 1, Section 10, that states can have their own legal tender as long as it's backed by gold and silver. So that got passed in the House. We saw the same thing happen in the Senate. We were watching the clock, though, because what often happens in the legislative process, you can have all the right intentions and even people that want to see it all done, but there's so many bills and there's only so much time. And we were right up against the very end on the very day. But boom, it happened.
And it happened with great support, almost unanimously.
Yes.
And it's beautiful. All right, so what we're talking about is we're talking about a new means, a personal gold and silver standard. Just imagine you end up with an extra $100 and you find $100, you know, your relative or friend gives you $100 or you make an extra $100 bonus at work. What are you going to do with it? Well, you know, all right, I'll go blow it. You can buy dinner for four out, well, maybe dinner for three out these days, at a nice restaurant. You could buy a couple of meals out at the hamburger restaurant for your family, or you can set it aside, and I want to hold on to this, but I want it to be easily spendable. So I can't go buy a stock with that or a mutual fund or whatever, but you want to hold the value. What if you could then, you're a citizen of Arkansas, and you say, hey, look, I've got $100. I'm just going to open up an account with this Arkansas-approved depository, and I'm going to send them that $100 and let them buy gold or silver for me and keep it there. And then when I need to spend it, they'll send me a debit card that I can spend it. So it's like buying a prepaid debit card, only this is held in gold or silver, which keeps its value over time. And you could add to it, you could subtract from it, you could use it to buy your meal, you could use it to buy gasoline, you could just let it ride and you know, as gold and silver has gone up. Wouldn't it be great to have a convenient way to buy, hold, or spend gold and silver as you want it, or sell it? You can do whatever you want to. Very convenient, and the state of Arkansas oversees it, so you know it's legal, it's trustworthy, and you don't worry about capital gains taxes if it goes up, because this is just money. That's what pirate money is. That's what I wrote about in the book, Pirate Money. And Arkansas, Laurie walks over to the Arkansas table, hands him a couple of copies of books. They go home and read it. And Mindy McClendon and
McAllendon. I had to look that up to make sure I got it right.
And Jim Dotson, Senator, they take it and run with it. And it's a long, tedious process. And they walk it through to get it passed.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but really a best practice. Like I said, Representative McAllendon was perfect in her two-minute opening. Why this needs to be done, it was rather a matter of fact.
I saw it; it was outstanding.
You know, some states say, "Oh, well, let's look at this and let's make this a 20-page bill or a 25-page bill." Or bureaucrats get in the way and they complicate it. They kept it simple in Arkansas. They've prided themselves on being fintech and building things and being innovators in the state of Arkansas. And I'm happy to say they're going to lead the way as the first state to actually pass this. And they were the catalyst
passed
for other states.
And signed into law.
Yes.
Which is the big thing. I mean, we were on pins and needles waiting for the governor announcement. Are you going to sign it? And if you sign it, can we be there when you sign it at the signing ceremony? And both were affirmative. And, you know, here it was. I was scheduled to be in Tallahassee that day. They canceled a hearing. And so we all got on a plane and flew to Little Rock, Arkansas, and attended an incredible signing ceremony. We're going to talk about that signing ceremony, the lessons learned, the thanks and appreciation we have for so many people making that happen. But yes, Pirate Money Radio, we're a little over a year on the air, and we already have our first law signed by none other than Governor Sarah Sanders. We'll be right back with more after the break.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yep, and I'm joined by Mike Carter, who's been my colleague and partner. He's been a real leader in helping get this legislation passed across the country. This is an idea that we're talking about. You may be wondering, tuning in, what is pirate money? Well, I'll tell you, the founders of this nation put a clause in the Constitution that said that a state could use gold and silver coins as legal tender. And what they were referencing were literally Spanish gold doubloons and Spanish mill dollars, also known as pieces of eight. Those were foreign coins. They weren't minted here in the United States. They weren't a part of our nation. They were foreign coins. What they liked about them is they were reliable versions of gold and silver, and they wanted no unbacked fiat money. They wanted real money, gold and silver. And so they knew it as pirate money, by the way. They knew that a lot of the gold doubloons and pieces of eight that circulated in the United States were captured from Spanish galleons or captured by the British from Spanish or pirates. And yet that was the currency of the realm until we started to mint our own currency. And in fact, it was the currency until the Coinage Act, I think 1857, something like that. Bottom line is, that's pirate money. It's put in the Constitution. We walked away from it as a nation, and states still have that authority. It's still in the Constitution. And so just a couple of years ago, Mike and I and some other colleagues, we went to Texas and said, hey, this is in the Constitution. You should do this. We didn't know what we were doing. We were learning the legislative process. We met a couple of state senator, Brian Hughes, and we met a state representative, Mark DeRazio, and said, let's give this a try. And they did. They tried 2 years ago. It did not happen 2 years ago, but that's when I sat here at Liberty Hawk and wrote the book Pirate Money, and we started distributing copies. Last year, Laurie from our team goes up to a table at the Pro Family Legislative Network and says, have you ever heard of this? This is a book you should read. And Representative Minnie McClendon and Senator Jim Dotson got copies of it, shared it with their colleagues in Arkansas, and slowly but surely, and Laurie kept staying in touch, and worked it through. And, you know, I'd get a text and say, hey, Kevin, they're voting on this in the committee. I said, well, cool. Hey, Kevin, they're voting on this in the House. Well, that's cool. Voting on the Senate. We watched as she stayed in touch and she kept working with them. I'll tell you what the magic there is. They found someone in the treasurer's office, a brilliant guy who helped them craft the legislation, keep it as simple as possible. And then they worked with the Pro Family Legislative Network, which is David Barton and Cheryl Barton and Tim Barton and Audrey Decker. And they kept moving it forward. And all of a sudden we wake up and said, hey, we got to pray that the governor signs this. That was a big day.
Yeah, yeah. And special credit to Michael Harry, was the chief compliance officer who kind of helped write the legislation. So what they did right was they got buy-in from the treasurer's office. They got buy-in from the banks. They kept the legislation simple. And, you know, it doesn't hurt that they were able to, I think, just garner bipartisan support across the board. It's a smaller state. Sometimes the smaller states are the battleship, are the battleships, and then we've got the big states that have more and more bureaucracy, and they're more like the aircraft carriers. They're a little bit harder to turn, a little bit harder to get over the finish line. But it'll be interesting to see, as we got some of these bigger states queuing up to come on board as well, who's able to execute best. And that's the beautiful part about free markets. We're going to have different states doing it a little bit differently each way. But that will give optionality to folks and say, I like Arkansas better, I like Texas better, or Florida, or whatever other state might be out there doing this.
Or Oklahoma, or Ohio, or Louisiana, or Pennsylvania.
Yeah. You can keep going.
Yeah. You know what I love, though, is Jason Rapert, our friend. I've known him for a long time. You went and actually took this as model legislation to the National Association of Christian Lawmakers at the Museum of the Bible. Yep. You know, I'd spoken on it before at NACL, but you took it. They voted it first unanimous. You got up, gave a rousing speech, I'm told, and they voted it as the first unanimous model legislation. And this is important because Jason Rapert is also known as the guy with the first heartbeat bill.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought that forward in Arkansas, got it passed, and then it became model legislation, got picked up in Texas. Brian Hughes, Senator Hughes, carried that in Texas. And, you know, a bunch of states followed.
There is a trend.
But the breakthrough, Arkansas, and thank you, Jason Raper. You know, we had lunch with him after the signing. In fact, he was at the signing.
Yes.
Do you remember that moment of the signing?
So, well... I remember it very well, but even I remember racing up to trying to find a parking spot, and there's nothing there. And Governor Sanders in the background got on the phone, just park in the Senate pro tem spot. I'm like, okay. And then the Capitol Police chased us out and said, hey, they said we could park here. And he said, okay. So kind of nice to have the red carpet rolled out.
Yeah, you and Larry were running in. Marnie and I were already upstairs, but we got in there, and we were joined by the Bartons and joined by Audria and joined by the senator and the representative and Jason Rapert, all the people. We got to invite them, which was cool. And
a lot of key stakeholders in that were all part of making this, taking it to the next level out there. And to see Jason after being at that event at the Museum of the Bible and say, you don't realize the miracle just happened. He goes, I've never seen an idea for legislation, first of all, get unanimous support. Second of all, get support in one meeting. And that's what happened there. And I believe that's God's hand, I think, saying, all right, this is important. Let's get it done. And so I think it's kind of appropriate that Arkansas was the first one. And like I said, I believe this is the catalyst for many other states to say, well, Arkansas did it. We need to be on board with this.
Miracles all the way through, including when Governor Sanders turned around. Of course, she's got a great relationship with David Barton. I know her a little bit because I was the MC of Ben Carson, Dr. Carson's birthday bash where she was the keynote speaker. And so I got to meet her.
You've emceed multiple events for Dr. Carson.
I have, but this was one of them with President Trump as as the speaker, one of them with Newt Gingrich, and one of them with not then governor, but Sarah Sanders, soon to be governor. Anyway, so she signs the bill, and she turns around, and she looks at David Barton, and she says, can you believe it, David? Art Alley and Ken Eldred called me and told me I should sign this. Can you believe that? And David looked at her like, really? Wow, that's interesting. So Art Alley from the Timothy Plan.
Yes, good sponsor.
And they're tremendous. Timothy Plan, you can learn more at timothyplan.com, I guess, but they've been a tremendous supporter of what we're doing. And Ken Eldred's been a tremendous supporter. He's a billionaire that created United in Purpose and a bunch of great organizations and done Silicon Valley Entrepreneur of the Year a couple of years running. So that impacted her, right? And she turns and I looked at her and said, well, Governor, I think maybe I'm at fault for that. And she looked at me, she said, oh. And I said, we met, and I explained, oh, yeah, she remembered. And I said, well, we call Ken and Art and asked him to call you. And she said, that was the strangest thing. I've never had them call me on a bill before. I knew I had to sign it. And then she handed me that signing pen.
Yeah, it was awesome. When I saw you had to get the pen, I was like, that was success and time to celebrate. And it always is good to have influencers. Like you mentioned there, that there's people that really care about America. They care about what's happening here, and they care about fair weights and measures. They want to see this legislation be successful. So thankful to both Art and Ken and the extra support they've given to kind of help get this message out.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people. We can't even name all the people that are wanting to help average Americans prosper and succeed and have gold and silver. You know, so that was... the miracle of Arkansas. Let's talk about the miracle that's underway in Florida, because we had this, we thought, locked in Florida, and then it was dead, and it looks like God's brought it back to life.
It's never done until it's done, as we've learned in the legislative process. We've been so many times where you're right up to the finish line, and you think you got it, and then someone takes that, it's that Lucy in the football
governor
thing.
In Utah.
Yeah, exactly.
Governor Spencer Cox, I'm disappointed in you, Governor Cox. You vetoed legislation for terrible reasons. You had no idea, and you didn't even bother to check out what you were saying. So if you want to give me a call, go ahead and do it. I'd be happy to talk to you, sir, about what you've done. Congratulations on being a governor, but you had a bonehead decision here.
Near unanimous support, and to have him veto that with no... real reason or rationale other than maybe some other outside pressure somewhere. I don't know, but I want to give special thanks to Representative Ken Ivory there in Utah, though, who's been a leader on
this.
And
Treasurer Marlo Oaks.
Treasurer, absolutely, both of them. And they've had some major wins. They were the first to really plow through with gold and silver as legal tender. But then the rainy day fund, and then this transactional bill that they had going forward. But you know, sometimes it's hard to be first in line.
Yeah.
And they
the pioneers
blaze the trail.
Get the arrows in their chest, don't they? But they blaze the trail for the rest of us.
And they're going to be set up for next year. It's going to be a success.
I'm still holding out some miracle happens there. But we did get word today. It's unlikely that they're going to override the veto, even though they have the votes and things. It's a hard thing to do. But Utah is going to remain a leader.
Yeah. Yeah, so now let's go over to Florida. So, you know, we have experts in Florida that tell us, you know, every bill that you put out there, every piece of legislation is basically destined to fail. Because if you start to look at the odds of how many people you need to influence, how many committees you need to get through, how many Republicans and Democrats you need to get on board, how many people you need to get on the House side, then on the Senate side, then through the lawyers, and then to actually get on the floor for votes, and then to be signed, it's nearly impossible to pass legislation. Yet we've had those that are experts in kind of following legislative and conservative legislation say, you have no idea how amazing and how fast this is moving for you guys.
It's not done, but it was dead.
Yeah.
And now it's back to life.
And whether it's Florida or not, or another state that's going to be coming up here, it's God is opening up the doors, and we don't know, and sometimes that works to our advantage. We don't know we can't do this, but we know God is even bigger, and he's been opening the doors, and we've gotten tremendous favor and support that's made this possible, and that's what makes this project so
exciting. We had a dinner there. Marnie and I went to Tallahassee. The Governor's Club had a dinner there a little over a year ago. It's not been that long, and we met a pastor from Orlando area who just got elected to the state house, and he says, I'll run with your bill. I mean, he's brand new freshman, doesn't know how hard it is or anything else. And he entered legislation. It went further than anybody expected, and we flew there. I remember that dinner because I remember Art Alley said, look, I'll host a dinner for you guys, but we have to keep the price under a certain amount because you can't feed legislators over certain. Right now, the limit is so low, you could barely buy them a McDonald's cheeseburger. But I remember we had dessert, and we had to cancel the dessert so that they didn't go over the limit. Mike, you were making the arrangements while Marnie and I was flying there.
I thought you were going to call me out for overspending the budget, which I did a little bit because we were trying to work some senators in for last-minute meetings. Like, well, we'll throw a dessert in. You can come afterwards, and we'll get this across. But anyhow.
Yeah, but anyway. All right, so we had this a year ago in Florida. Looked impossible. Had this meeting, and we had a freshman who says, I'll try it. And you know what? Here we are a year later, and we are on the cusp of something close to a miracle. I mean, this thing has been dead so many times and brought back to life miraculously. We'll fill you in on all of this. It could happen next week. We could hear that Florida is the second state to pass pirate money legislation, transactional gold and silver. It'll make a real difference in your life when we get this done. We'll be right back after this break.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, I'm joined by Mike Carter, and we're just taking a look here at the photo of Governor Sanders holding up the bill that she signed. It's a beautiful picture, and that's the team that made it happen. Whether they're state senator, state representative, from the treasurer's office, the finance office, former state senator, the pro-family legislative network, and Marnie with the hat, iconic. Marnie, my lady, she's known by one name. You say Marnie and everybody knows, oh, I know Marnie. Marnie's a special lady, but there I am with the gray hair. And there is Senator Sanders. She's got the pen on the table. She's about to hand to me. Anyway, it was an amazing day, and you see in the background all the people talking, and there is the representative, Mindy McClendon, who's just a brilliant lady. I think one of the finest speeches I've ever heard on transactional gold and silver. I watched that repeatedly. I was like, this lady gets it, and she really, she personified it in such a way, and that's what it takes to get this passed. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It's a miracle. Afterwards, you remember what we did afterwards?
when we went to the vault. We went to get some fiat currency, didn't we? Just to look at it and see if it was still there.
Yeah, there you are. There's a picture of Mike holding $600,000 worth of currency. It's a big stack of bills. There's me holding $600,000 worth of currency. And there's Marnie with a big shout out. She tried to escape back the back door, but they wouldn't let her out. No, I She could go shopping with that. That'd be
still
pretty cool.
That is still a working, it was a bank they've had, working bank when that capital was still open. They still use it as a bank, I guess, for employees and stuff there. But they've got that old vault that's got history behind it, and everybody that comes by, it's all secure, but you can hold the 600. I don't know how they came up with the 600,000, but there's $600,000 in cash there.
But one little gold bar is worth probably twice that these days.
I told them they're going to have to up their game and have gold and dollars there now. So we'll see if they can get that in there. But the guys working the bank loved the idea of this legislation and what that was about. So
yeah, well, speaking of that, in Florida, we met with the treasurer, the outgoing treasurer, Jimmy Patronis. Mm-hmm. He's now Congressman Patronis. Mm-hmm. We met with their attorney general. We met with the governor and the governor's staff. We met with the Senate president. We met with the House, Speaker of the House. We met and spoken in committees. We met with the Senate the Office of Financial Regulation. We met with the Senate. They had a simple bill. It expanded a little bit. But a year ago, we were meeting with people and saying, no, it's not going to happen this year. Maybe next year. It's not going to happen this year. Maybe next year. And we drove out of there a little discouraged. Flew home from Florida, actually. It's pretty cool. God did a cool thing or two there.
That was a little bit change in itinerary from what we originally had. But God blessed us. And that was another indication that, hey, there's something bigger than you guys helping on this thing.
He set the stage for us to be where we are now. It passed unanimously out of the House. We've got to give congratulations to Representative Pastor Doug Bankson, who said, I'm going to see this through.
Yeah.
And he won his House colleagues. I think every committee was unanimous, and I think it was 112-1 when we watched the vote tally on my phone or the computer or wherever you're watching. Watch the vote tally, and Representative Bankson texted me and said, I'm going to go get the one.
And he got it. After the fact, but he got it. I think he changed the vote, but we don't have the picture of that yet.
Yeah.
But Representative Bankson's an amazing leader who God put there. Because you think of what he did as a freshman, and then you look at what he did as a second year in now, and how he held the line. He said, no, I'm standing for what's right. And he got the respect of the leadership. Again, it's about being able to get the respect of leadership and get your peers on board. And he did that masterfully.
He got some co-authors. He did everything right. And, you know, he was so humble. Mm-hmm. At the end, do you want to have your victory lap? And he really didn't. He actually passed the glory. And he's just a really decent man. But we had heard, and in fact, it happened on the Senate side, there are some really, you know, zealous people that got in and tried to make the legislation a little more complicated, add this and add that and so forth. It got a little too complicated for the Senate president, so he did a strike all, and I thought, oh, we're dead. We're done. Even though I met with the Senate president, he shook my hand. He loved it. We met with him a year earlier and met with him. He was incoming Senate president. His Senate president seemed to like it. And so we did our best at there, but we got on our knees after it was dead. You know, how do you win unanimously the House and then it's dead? It got killed in Utah by the
And we had veto. We had unanimous support in the committee chambers and the Senate as well. So it was on a path to success. But then every now and then, the adversary comes in and says, no, we're not going to happen. And I'm glad to say, though, that prayer is paying off. Doors are opening again. These are never done until they're done. But they're never dead until they're dead, too. We also believe that it's never done until it's done. And so we believe God can intervene and make it happen. We saw that even happen in the Utah legislation where at the very last minute, it came through. The governor went a different direction in Utah, but I think in Florida, we're believing that God's going to do amazing things there. We're praying over that, and it's going
to
happen.
If you're a Florida resident and you want to see the ability to spend, and sell gold on an app with very little markup. You know, Florida is going to make that possible for you if this legislation passes. It went through the House. It went to the Senate. We just heard moments ago, because this is pre-recorded, so you'll hear it on a Saturday, but just moments ago we heard that the Senate did a slight amendment. It's going to go back to the House. It's still alive, and we've seen publicly one of our friends sent somebody into a governor's news conference and said, Governor DeSantis, if gold bill passes, will you sign it? And he says, absolutely, I'll sign it. There's a Liberty Sentinel article that even gives us credit for the idea when it first came out.
And that's all on House Bill 999. I want to share another story. It's kind of interesting. You know, when things went upside down last week, I flew out there. You had another meeting. I flew out there to try and do whatever damage control we could do and figure out what's going wrong and where this is going to go. I'd reached out to one of our kind of small ships, or we talk about an economic war room.
A listener or a follower? A listener
and a follower of Economic War Room, follower of Pirate Money Radio. They've got a prayer group that's been praying over this to get it done in Florida. They've been sending books to legislators. They've been doing their part. And I thought, well, I'm going to have some free time that evening. Maybe I'll just get together and buy her dinner. And then I had to have another meeting, emergency meeting with the legislators that night. So I said I couldn't do it. But prior to even informing her what's going on, she said, you know, God just put on my heart, I don't really want to meet you for dinner. I want to just meet you at the airport and pray with you. I feel like God just gave me that idea. Now, she didn't know what was happening at all. In fact, when she said that, I didn't know all the details of what was even going on. And I got off the plane in Florida, and her and her husband, Vicky and Ken, were there to greet me as I got there. And we prayed, and we said, hey, you know what? These things, we keep fighting until the very end. This is not done. They prayed with me. We spent about 15 minutes together, shared some stories of what God is doing, went on to some great meetings that next day, that night and then the next day. But again, that's just an example of how he's using everybody, because this is not just you and I and our team. It's everybody praying
Daniel
this thing
Horowitz,
through.
Daniel Horowitz, who's been close to the Florida situation, Alex Newman and others. This has been phenomenal, but it was one of those. It seemed the opposite of an Easter miracle. Good Friday, everything shut down. Good Friday, we're all higher than a kite, excited, because it looks like we're making this happen in Florida. And by Sunday, we're starting to get texts. Everything fell apart. They're going to kill it and so forth. And they did kill it on Monday. And you flew out Tuesday.
Yeah.
You may have flown Monday night.
I flew in Monday night. It's Tuesday. They killed
it. And it looked dead. And then prayer, it's not over. We'll say that 1,000 times. It's not over. By the time you hear this, it still won't be over. But next week, we have the potential that we could win. And the governor said he would sign it. So amazing people in Florida.
We got to pray for some miracles. Hopefully the House stays in session. They don't end early. All those games that can be played out there. But I believe that God's hand is on this, and he knows the timing of all this. But we're believing for great things on the state of Florida and all the other states we're working.
Well, let's talk Oklahoma a second. That's the state of my birth. That's the state where we met. And Oklahoma, it was in the House, in the Senate, and Senator David Bullard carried it, and it looked like, well, it's dead. It's not going to even get heard in committee. And so it died. But he had a strategy, and it Representative Cody Maynard, another one of our great Oklahoma legislators, he passed it through almost unanimously in the Oklahoma House, went back to the Senate side, and Senator Bullard got them to agree to send it to his committee, where it got a hearing. I went and testified for the hearing. It passed in his committee, and now it's a matter of whether or not it's going to get voted in the full Senate. It doesn't need amendment, doesn't need changes. It can go, and we believe the governor will sign it if we get a hearing. So that's something to pray for, is that the Senate pro tem, it's a president of the Senate, president pro tem of the Senate, and Senator Bullard was one vote from having that seat. Mm-hmm. But if the current, and Marty and I met him, we shook his hand, talked to him, gave him a copy of the book. There's a lot of misinformation out there. Oh, this is just a tax shelter for the wealthy, or it's not constitutional, or what. All those things are answered in the book Pirate Money. So if the Senate pro tem, President pro tem, has read the book, he can understand. We're happy to answer questions, happy to introduce him to anybody he wants to talk to that believes this is good for Oklahoma. It's good for average citizens. But we're that close in Oklahoma.
He just has to, I think it sounds like we've got the vote count in the Senate right now. So he just needs to move it forward for a floor vote count. And I'm just believing that as he gets a chance, he probably hasn't had a chance to read through the details. There might be some follow-up we need to do, but I'm believing that his heart will be opened up and Oklahoma will be another one that that gets this across the finish line.
Otherwise, Arkansas is going to look down on Oklahoma. You know,
we got a little state rivalry. We had someone in Texas called the other day. We got good news in Texas, but we got held up there a little bit. And one of our grassroots supporters there called up and said, well, I just hope Oklahoma doesn't beat Texas again. And that got one of the senators fired up. So a little fun back and forth competition between the states.
Well, you know, Arkansas is an SEC state now, as is Florida, as is Louisiana, which we'll talk about, as is Texas. You know, the University of Oklahoma is there. There's a whole SEC rivalry going on here. But then we'll bring in the Big Ten with Ohio coming up, Ohio State University, which is Art Alley School. So I don't know how Art will feel if Ohio beats Florida or Florida, Ohio or whatever. All of this should be very exciting to you. It is. You know, we're in a season of remarkable change taking place, hopefully closing our border, hopefully following the rule of law, hopefully, you know, men are men and women are women, and, you know, all of those things. And one of those things is, do we have honest money? And you can have a choice in your money. Arkansas has already said it so. Yes, you should have a choice. How about Oklahoma? How about Florida? How about Texas? How about Louisiana? How about Ohio? How about Pennsylvania? Those things are all coming up. We're working hard to go back to the future. Go back to the Constitution, Article 1, Section 10. Can a state have its own money? The answer is not if it's backed by. We'll correct that. If it is gold and silver, and we have a way to do it. That's what I wrote about in my book, Pirate Money. We've got all these other states to talk about, and then some action steps you can take to help us make this happen. This is real. We'll be right back.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And I'm joined by the great Mike Carter, and we're talking about inflation and how it's ravaging your checking account because it can't keep up. Paper money is not backed by anything. You can't exchange it and get gold and silver like you could 100 years ago or whatever. It is just paper. And they're making more of it every day, not just paper, but digitally creating it. You know, we play that video all the time where the Federal Reserve is talking, well, we just create money. We create it out of thin air. You know, we don't print it, but it's like printing money, and it's unlimited. We can do everything. You know, they just go on and on and on about how much they can make. And who gets hurt by that?
You and I do, because every time they print more money or digitize more money out there, our money becomes worth less and less. So it's not fair weights and measures, and it's something that there is a solution to. I believe it's amazing that it's in our Constitution. Our founders recognized that. They hated fiat currency, and we have the technology today to make it really functional currency. It's a God thing to me that it's here, but I also want to say we're not anti-dollar. We want to see the dollar continue to stay strong.
We're kind of anti-printing excess amounts
of
money.
Yes, we are that for
sure. Or borrowing excess amounts. The problem is not the dollar. The problem is the spending and the massive creation of money. That's the problem.
Which creates the wealth gap. There's a lot of problems out there. But, you know, there's been a lot of smart people who say, the dollar is going to be around and for the rest of our lifetimes.
I hope that's true.
And we hope that is true. But we want there to be an option. We want there to be optionality. And I like to think of it as my personal rainy day fund that I can hold in gold, that it's always there if I need it. And I find that I still spend my money in dollars, but I have my gold that I can spend if I need to spend it, but I have fun watching it just kind of keep go up in value. And while gold can go up in value a little bit, it stays pretty stable. If you look at the value of gold over the test of time, unlike a Bitcoin or something else out there, which can have some radical changes. So if you're looking for a stable store of value, if you're looking for fair weights and measures, you look at, it's the biblical source of money. We think it's just wise to have this as an option. And we're seeing other states say, hey, this does make sense.
Well, until April 17th, 2025, from the entirety of my lifetime and yours too, There has been no alternative for money in the United States. The only thing was the Federal Reserve money. They had a monopoly. Mm-hmm. They had a monopoly, which means it's monopoly money. No, I'm just kidding. That's just a joke. But the reality of it is if you want to guarantee corruption in a political office, let there be only one candidate and no candidate ever running against them. That guarantees corruption. Mm-hmm. Competition is what keeps people honest. And the fact that there's competition now, as of April 17th, 2025, when Governor Sarah Sanders signed that bill into law, now there's competition. People could hold their money in the form of gold and silver. It had been an unfair competition at minimum. You could, I guess, own gold and silver before, but you couldn't spend it easily. Or if you did, you'd get taxed on it. And so there was this tax waiting. It wasn't treated like money. It was treated like a collectible. Correct. Or an investment. Well, look, money matters. And here, there are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, you can spend it, you can invest it. And here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas, giving, spending, investing, in ways that promote liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, a mobile phone company, supports the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. So we're talking about money, honest weights and measures, biblical money, which would be gold and silver. I've read Genesis to Revelation. I've read it past 5 years. I've read it at least five times. I go Genesis to Revelation every year. I never found a place where God spoke favorably out of creating money out of thin air or printing large amounts of paper money. He talks about gold and silver. He doesn't talk about all those things. So is it biblical? Yes, but it's also constitutional. It's also historical. This question was raised in the Oklahoma House or Oklahoma Senate Committee. A senator looked at me and said, now you mentioned this was biblical. Are you doing this just to impose a theocracy kind of thing? And I said, actually, no, it is biblical. There's no doubt about it. But it's also historical. The reason it's in the Bible is because it's what throughout human history, it's been gold and silver in areas that don't even follow the Bible. In China, gold and silver was money. In India, gold and silver was money. In Japan, gold and silver was money. Before the gospel even got there, it was money. So it's not the Bible. It's pretty much the way God created it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I don't know, we've played it before. I don't know if it's possible even. You know, I see the clip up on our website there. Is it possible to play that, Russell, with what our founder said about fiat money? No? Okay.
All right. We'll get it. You can go to transactionalgold.com and you just click on the video. The Constitution has the answer. There's a video right there and it says the founders hated paper money because they knew it was unjust. And that was the problem with it. So you can learn more about this, but I want to talk Texas because Texas is another miracle state that we're going to see what happens. It is, as we're recording this, it's tomorrow.
Yes.
So when you get this, you may have to do a web search to find out what happened in the Texas House. But this is a miracle because it was dead. It was entered as legislation. It got signed to the State Affairs Committee. We went and testified in the State Affairs Committee. We thought, oh, this is going to move out. And then it got held up for a little bit and held up for a little bit. And to the credit of Caleb Cashdollar, yes, that's his name. he is chief of staff for Representative Mark DeRazio. And Representative DeRazio, they built relationships for our bill across the House. I think they had 83 signers, yep. Co-signers.
Democrats and Republicans.
Democrats. It's amazing at the work that he had done. But it was being held up in the State Affairs Committee for a little bit. And Marnie and I got an appointment with the Speaker of the House. And we went and visited with him in his Austin office. He was a perfect gentleman. He took time with us. He listened to everything we had to say. He was careful to hear. We took him briefing books. We shared with him. I don't know if that's what made the difference or if what Representative DeRazio had done or what some of
the other team of people calling on everybody in the committee and so forth. But that briefing book, I saw, it was amazing. And that was something that was done over the weekend at the last minute to say, all right, let's get this done. Your ability to get with the House Speaker and get that briefing document to him, that was a significant move.
And we get a letter from a law firm saying how this is constitutional, mm-hmm. because there was an argument that came up at the last second, the very last second, the State Affairs, and said, oh, no, we don't think this is constitutional. And it came from the Texas Bullion Depository or the Comptroller's Office. I think it's Comptroller's Office, staff attorney. And, you know, there was a question they asked her, are you a constitutional attorney? And she said, well, I know, but I took a class in constitutional law. And the Democrat representative on the committee was a brilliant guy, really terrific guy, Representative Raymond. He said, yes, and I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night. And you know what's funny is we had stayed at a Holiday Inn Express that night. But it finally broke through. Chairman King was true to his word. He gave us his word. He would have a vote on it. He had a vote on it. It went out. It went to the Calendars Committee. And this is where bills go to die, in the Calendars Committee. And they could have said, well, we're not putting it on the calendar. We're going to put it on this calendar and not this calendar. They could have done any number of things. And Chairman Todd Hunter, who had passed it out of State Affairs Committee last year, he put it on the calendar, not so late that it doesn't get a vote. Yeah. It's getting a vote tomorrow.
And he put it on the regular calendar. Some other politics, there was a lot of other legislation that could push there. But he got it there early, and we've got a good shot there. And when we also have great support at the Senate level now saying, hey, okay, if they get it done there, we've got to get our act together on the Senate side.
And then we got to get the lieutenant governor to approve it, because nothing passes the Texas Senate without the lieutenant governor, unless it'd be very rare. And then we got to get the governor to sign it, and he's publicly said he would sign it. And then another time publicly, he acted like he wasn't sure.
But Texas should lead, though. We got the Texas Bullion Depository. We got the right brand for it. We are queued up to really lead and really make a difference out there. And so I hope Texas captures that opportunity. If not, it might be Arkansas, it might be Oklahoma, it could be Florida. I mean, you look at all those states up there.
It's definitely Arkansas. Arkansas is getting my long appreciation. But you look at a list of states. We have it on transactionalgold.com. You can look at the half the country that is considered legislation, which is a miracle, because 3 years ago, this is an idea, and one state was looking at it.
And several of those states up there, we're going to be helping with studies this summer. Not studies to kill it, but studies to say, okay, we need to understand this more. So we are building momentum to get even more states across the finish line in the next legislative session. And we've got a good run-up still of states where it can happen this year.
And we had a very definitive legislative effort, or not legislative, but study effort in Utah. I participated mm-hmm. with a former vice chairman of the Federal Reserve and top banking executives and you know, just incredible study that came out of Utah, which you can get a lot of this information on the transactionalgold.com site. You can learn more. Of course, if you want to learn more, you can read Pirate Money, the book that I wrote on this. You can see FAQs, answers to questions. And if you have questions or comments that you want to bring to us here at Pirate Money Radio, just email us. AFR, American Family Radio, AFR at piratemoneyradio.com. Bring us your comments, your questions, your thoughts, your prayer requests. That's AFR at piratemoneyradio.com. And we need your prayers. We'll know if it got out of the House in Texas before this program airs. But you can be praying about that. Pray about Florida. Pray that America will return to God's principles. And one of his principles is honest weights and measures. Let's get back to business, but let's do it God's way. That's Pirate Money Radio. And that's the role that we're playing here. So you can listen to us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, etc. And if you want to keep following this in between our Saturday morning specials, go to follow us at transactionalgold.com, and you can learn more there. A whole host of tools that are there, answers to the questions that you have. Mike, any last?
Yeah, if you have a legislator and you want this for your state, reach out to us. We've got a whole page that's just for legislators. Happy to help get it done in your state as well.
All right, this is Kevin Freeman, joined by Mike Carter and Pirate Money Radio.